recording now. Okay, so welcome to the Cross Country Magazine podcast. It's a rainy Sunday afternoon here, but I'm very excited to be talking to Theo Warden, who's at the airport in Portugal right now, about to fly home. Theo won the European Paragliding Championships yesterday and has kindly agreed to talk to us about his experience. He learnt to fly at the same time as his dad, John, just 5 years ago, age 14, and banged out his first 200km XC just 2 years later. His success has been pretty meteoric, but he's kept his cool head and a sense of humour throughout. Theo, thanks for your time. Should we start with a bit of gossip?
Go for it.
So,
that's the introduction. It was amazing.
So you were sort of neck and neck with Honorin Hamard, who's a former world champion, isn't he? And halfway through the comp, after beating him one day, apparently you gave him a bit of a prod in the tummy and a bit of advice at the bar. Can you tell us what that was?
I said, I poked him in the tummy and said, better luck next time. You'll always have tomorrow. he might be a world champion, but he's also an amazing guy. Really, really down to earth and cool to talk to. Yeah, it's really nice.
Excellent. So should we start with some basics? Because this is a worldwide magazine. So can you explain a little bit about what Sheffield's like, where you grew up and how you got into flying?
Yeah. So, Sheffield's really nice. It's a really pretty town. Probably like perfect place to grow up in, really, because you've got the city aspect and then you've also got the Peak District, like right on our doorstep. So I was used to actually walk with my family on like days out on the weekends when I wasn't in school. And that's the first time I saw paragliders. We were out on Stanage, a local flying site, a few miles away from my home. And they were just soaring about on the cliffs. And I thought it was really magical. I managed to wave at one and it waved back down. And yeah, that was my first time seeing a glider, and ever since then I've kind of wanted to do it.
And were you walking with your dad and he was kind of inspired at the same time, was he?
Yeah, I think him and my mum actually wanted to learn together when they got to the age of 50, because all their kids have grown up, and then they have a bit of time to themselves where they're not having to deal with us. So my dad was really enthusiastic. He went to Austria. My mum wasn't so enthusiastic after trying a tandem out in Austria. So that's how he got into it. And then I didn't really have to ask much. I got straight into it as well. It just a year later.
Fantastic. And so can you tell us a little bit? I mean, a lot of people listening probably, they like flying, but they haven't really got a clue about how competitions work. Could you explain a little bit how a paragliding competition works?
Sure. So maybe they don't know how paragliding competitions work, but maybe they know how sailing competitions work. So there are different points. They create a course line, a course and a route, with virtual points, which you have to check. You have to be inside or on the outside of them to get the cylinders, and then you can kind of connect the dots until you get to a goal. There's quite a few factors and it's all quite complicated, but it's pretty much down to you all start together, you race down the course, and then whoever gets to the goal, the end of the race first, wins. It's not always like that. There's some complexities with lead out points and other stuff, but that's usually how it goes.
Okay, cool. Thanks for that. Just to help people understand that it's about flying, distance and racing, and so it's quite tactical, isn't it? Especially at a high level, you're kind of watching what each other's doing quite a lot.
Exactly. So it's quite intense. It's all about distance and speed and efficiency over the course.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
It's good.
Okay, and then for the pilots who know a little bit more, can you tell us a bit about what gear you flew with in this competition?
So yeah, I fly with an Ozone Enzo 3 as my wing. I love it. It's absolute beauty. I also fly with an XR7 by Woody Valley. That's my harness, and I have two gin reserves just in case. Parachutes. Yeah. Uh-huh. So they're They're my babies. wouldn't know what I'd be doing without them.
And what about in terms of instruments? Because yeah, as a teenager, you must know your technology.
Yeah. Well, I actually fly with, it's quite new, by X Contest, the XE Track.
Oh, yeah.
I pair that with my XE Tracer, which is amazing. I think that's the best thing to my Thermaling since getting a Varian in the first place. Uh-huh. And I also fly with a Navitor, an UDI.
Okay.
And I think for me, it's mostly just being able to visualize the task. So I have screens, lots of big screens, which show me which direction to go, what height I'm at. All the essential information. So what glide ratio I'll need to get to a certain area, all that kind of stuff.
And you said the XC Tracer's kind of really helped you a lot. Can you say why? Because it's a very sensitive instrument, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I've been used to some of the older instruments. I've never really had a huge amount of money to invest in these kind of things. So I found them to be a bit slower to react. And the XC Tracer is just so sensitive. It knows exactly when you're going up. And it's not just like, it feels like you're going up without losing speed and converting it from speed into height. It feels like it knows exactly what's going on. It's very, very accurate.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And you work for Aerofix, at repairing and trimming gliders with your dad in the Peak District. And I know I was talking to Luke Nicole and he said you take a very keen interest in how your wing feels. Did you tweak it any particular ways for this competition and the conditions in Portugal?
I pretty much just set it to zero just so there was no messing about. I knew it's exactly how I wanted it to fly. So the trim was pretty much as it should be coming out of the factory. Mm. I do like flying with my tips slightly fast. I feel like it just helps a little bit with the handling. You're never having to wait for the tip to follow around when you kind of initiate a turn. And I think it has a slight, you have a slight better glide on full speed. Uh-huh. Right there.
Okay.
Feels cool. a bit nicer on bar. Cool. Yeah, that's pretty much how I fly my wing.
And I know a lot of pilots have commented on the fact that you're a very good climber. Did you find yourself kind of at the top of the stack quite often during the competition? Did that help?
To be honest, the start of the competition was quite frustrating. I felt like I wasn't flying my best. Quite often I would end up at the bottom of the thermal or dropping out the bottom. I managed to kind of crawl back into back to the leaders just before the end and get in fast that way. Uh-huh. But near the end of the week, I got a lot more into the swing of things. The climbing just became a lot more natural. And yeah, every so often you'd get a little bubble and you could work it. If you're a bit away from everybody else, you've gone out the main gaggle to find your own little bit of lift. You can really use it and get a lot of advantage of them. Yeah, just kind of pull away a little bit. That's really satisfying. It's happened once or twice this week. Yeah.
Cool. And you got up into the podium positions about halfway through the competition. And I know you said you just wanted to have fun and enjoy yourself. So how did seeing your name at the top of the list help you, you know, how did you refocus on just having a good time and keeping that as your focus?
I just didn't really think about it, to be honest. I just kind of put the results or the scoring out of my mind completely, because in the past it's really kind of got into my head, and whenever I'm thinking about how I should perform in the middle of the comp, it always seems to put me off and make me fly worse. Uh-huh. So it's just a matter of, I don't know, maybe since I've done a few comps now, I've managed to find a way of just getting on with normal things after the task, and yeah, just
Okay, it's cutting out a little bit there, but I got most of that. You said you just sort of managed to keep the thought of the result sort of out of your head during the competition. You've learned that through several competitions.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And on Facebook, you thanked a lot of people for their support and advice. Was there any one bit of advice from anyone that really stuck in your mind that helped?
There's just so much. Specifically just Ross has really been really helpful for the past year or so with the PPR. Stick with Gaggle and don't put yourself anywhere where you'll be exposed. And also speaking with Judy Ledden, she's just absolutely amazing. She always knows exactly what to say to make you feel better, and she's really, really just great to talk to you about psychology and how everything's going. Yeah, both Judy and Russ have been great. And Guy is obviously top tier.
Were you in touch with Russ and Judy during the competition?
Yes. Mainly Judy, because I think Russ has been at the BPRA in Vulture in the All Comers Open. So communications have been a bit harder.
Yeah. Okay. And I know competition scoring is quite complicated, and a few people wanted you to know what you needed to do to win, especially on the last day. But your teammates kind of refused to pass that advice on over the radio, as they wanted to protect your headspace. Is that right?
Yeah, Andrew Williams was saying he had a few tips from people saying exactly what I needed to do to win, and he just kept it to himself. In a way, I think it's important to know, just in case there's an opportunity of which you can take to increase the chances of winning. But I think someone told me exactly how many points I needed. I think it was Ron Marshina. Yeah, I know how many points I needed to get beaten. It's about 9 from Torsten and a few others from Switzerland. But yeah, it's I think that's okay. I think right at the end of the competition, you need a little bit of an idea of how you're doing. I think that's not too damaging for my for the way I've been playing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I spoke to your dad last night, and he said you've always had a level head, and he sort of spoke about this memory of when you were 4 learning to ride. He was following you cycling through the woods, and he said you just speed up when it was good and then would slow down for the tricky bits. And he was really surprised, because he thought boys at that age just went too fast and fell off. And he says he's always been very relaxed about you doing challenging activities, because he knows your judgment's sound. So where did you get that from? Because the last time I drove with you and your dad, he was doing about 90 miles an hour.
I think when he's trying to prove it, he's quite awesome. But he also can have fun. It's good. Cool. I don't really know, to be honest. Yeah. Maybe it's, yeah, I have no comments.
The connection's a little bit dodgy, but we'll try and carry on. Should we talk about a critical moment? Like on the last day, you were an equal first,
sure,
and you had lots of people snapping at your heels. And right at the end, you were kind of at the back of the lead gaggle. They were crossing the finish line, and you were left behind. And it looked like you stayed in a thermal to get up in order to make it in. I mean, the temptation to push on must have been massive. Yeah. What were you saying to yourself in those moments?
I was pretty much just thinking it's like make or break. I was thinking I might end up getting a few points behind if and maybe sacrificing first if I don't make it with the lead gaggle. But then again, if I bombed out like a few of the people who were actually with me did, or just in front, it would have been the end. I could have ended up right at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking best to make goal and be a little bit safe. And I actually left with something like 12-1 to goal. And one of my instruments said I was minus 10, 15 meters underneath goal on glide with, So it was really quite necky. Like everybody else, they went down the line and it seemed to be kind of lifty. Also, it just came on the radio and said, there's lift here, you can come, don't worry, it's going to be fine. And yeah, I went, and just as he said that, everyone went into pretty strong sync.
So, as is always the way.
It was, exactly, and I really was just, I needed a new pair of underwear after that. It was really close, with about 60 metres.
Wow, but it must have felt good when you arrived.
Yeah, exactly, it was insane. Just being able to get there, the atmosphere was buzzing. Actually, I don't know if I should say this, but I owe Pierre Remy a beer, because Torsten, who was my main competitor in the lead, actually had a mid-air with Pierre Remy. Well, Pierre Remy and Torsten had a bit of a mid-air where he lost about 50 to 100 metres. So if that hadn't happened, I don't know if I'd have been in the same position now.
Wow. Well, I'm sure he didn't do it on purpose, but yeah. Well, if he did.
No, exactly. Oops, sorry, I missed that.
I was saying, I'm sure he didn't do it on purpose, but if he did, yeah, interesting.
It's really crazy.
Yeah, that is mad. Were there many mid-airs in the competition?
It was actually it was good. There wasn't many at all, really. I think there were about two, including the one with Torsten and Pierre.
Okay.
So I think it was pretty safe. The best tasks were the ones where they set kind of cut and cradle, so there were big and small and bigger cylinders within each other, so you'd have to kind of go into one, out of another. That really set them, that kind of forced people to take different decisions in different lines to split the competition up. And it just made it feel a lot safer. On one of the days where we had to pretty much just go straight downwind, everyone was always together. There was about 150 pilots all in the same space, and that was when it felt a little bit scary.
Yeah,
felt a bit too close for comfort.
Yeah, I bet. And how was the atmosphere in the teams? I saw Jess Cox leading you all in morning yoga in front on takeoff, and I thought that's the kind of team I'd like to be in. It looked like it was really good fun.
Oh, it was absolutely perfect. And that stuff really does get your head in the right place. You're just so relaxed. I can't actually recommend that more. Yeah, Jess and Malin, they're the yoga masters. they'll take you through your soul, in some deep meditation as well. That's an added extra. It's awesome.
And what did the Scottish... what did the Scottish boys add to the spirituality of the British team?
Oh, he's raw strength. He's a beast, Andrew. He's a really good guy. He was taking part in it all the whole time as well.
Is that Julian you're talking really about?
Oops, say again.
Is that Julian you're talking about, or Andrew?
Oh, Andrew.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. He was into the yoga as well, was he?
Yeah, we got the whole team going. I think it really helped. That's what everyone said. It's awesome.
What about pilots in other teams? Who did you kind of who's flying did you admire during the competition? Did anyone sort of stand out in your mind?
It's always crazy flying with the French team because it feels like they always know exactly what to do. And especially Honor, he's just crazy. I don't know how he does it, but he's just like he searches and then right, he's searching, then he finds the strongest climbs. And he always manages to pull out in front. It's pretty magical watching. And I really enjoy flying with Torsten as well, because he has, I think, a similar safe-ish style of flying to me.
Mm-hmm. So Honorin was kind of out front quite a lot, wasn't he?
Near the end, when he had a bit less... he had nothing to lose in the last task, so he really was pushing hard.
Yeah, Cool.
And it's amazing to watch.
And I know it's very early, but to know, because, you know, you only won yesterday, this time yesterday you were sort of finishing the crossing line. But any thoughts on kind of what you want to do next? Are you kind of in paragliding for a while, do you think? Or would you be moving on to something else? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
No, for sure. I'm still definitely a baby in this sport. But I feel like I've got a lot more to do with the sport and also the community. I would really like to do some more team flying with the Worlds and maybe the European League. Much flying as possible and probably as many competitions as possible.
Fantastic. Well, should we wrap it up there? Because you've got a plane to catch in about half an hour. I think Ed, the editor at Cross Country, is talking to people at the BBC. So hopefully we'll try and, maybe see you on Breakfast News or something. It's such a brilliant achievement. I know a lot of pilots around the world are really, really excited for you. So congratulations again.
And thanks to everyone who's he's been really supportive. I've had some really nice words through Facebook and messages. It's been really, really nice. Paragliding community is my favourite. You guys are awesome.
Fantastic.
It's really, really been a good experience.
Excellent.
Thank you guys.
All right, well, have good flight home, and see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks to you.